You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
The big voice guy is correct. It's another Saturday, which means it's time for another Make the Call here, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. I am Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. And I am joined this week on our panel by Parker Olson in Madison and Greg Gunderson in Park Falls as we get set for another week of sports here on Civic Media. Coming up later in the show, Jake Kokorowski, Badger Observer, joins us in a half an hour. Mike Clements will get us an update from the Super Bowl. That'll come your way near the end of the show. Right now, though, we bring Parker and Gray aboard for our top seven at seven, top seven sports stories or not sports stories at 7 a.m. So let's get it started. At number seven in our top seven at seven, the Milwaukee Bucks made a trade this week. Woohoo! They made a trade. It did not involve Giannis, but hey, long live the Nigel Hayes-Davis Bucks era this week. Parker, the Bucks make a trade. What's your take on this massive blockbuster deal that the Bucks made?
Oh, it was such a massive move, Jimmy. I was so excited about it. I mean, Nigel Hayes era, come on. Bringing him back to the Badger State, putting him in some Bucks uniforms, saying, hey, Nigel Hayes, you wanna play a little basketball for us? And he said yes. And then the Bucks said, never mind. I'm not thrilled about that.
But 3 hours. Had the 3 hours or whatever it was, the era. It's like when Sam Decker was briefly a Buck, right? He was like part of the trade deal for like Houston or something. He was here for like 5 seconds and then boom, 14 minutes later, he's on his way up.
What do the Badgers have against, or what do the Bucks have against Badgers? What gives, man?
It's like the Packers and Badgers too. Like, what's with the Wisconsin teams not bringing in the Badgers? What is going on with that?
You know, I wasn't old enough to watch the whole Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning thing happen back in the day. It's just like he was there but didn't play for him. Now I got this. This is my diet version of that. We got the Nigel Hayes era on the Bucks.
It's just funny that these trades work out the way they do. And sometimes you get these guys for a hot minute and then it's over. But the Bucks do make a minor move to address some depth. Honestly, it's more flexibility for them. We're going to talk more about the Bucks coming up because Giannis is staying and what that means for this offseason. We'll do that coming up later on in our top seven at seven. Let's move up to number six in our top seven at seven. And that's because the Winter Olympics are underway. You're seeing a lot of your NBC newscasts get preempted now for Olympic sports. And I'm curious about you guys and what you're looking forward to in the Winter Olympics the most. What I used to look forward to was that a lot of my shows and things would get preempted for Olympics coverage. So it meant some free days off this time of year. But there are actual sports happening. There's even a bunch of Wisconsin connections to this. I'm going to go to you, Gray, first and ask you what you're most hyped for here with the Winter Olympics.
I love that for you, Jimmy, the Olympics were basically a holiday. That's any excuse to pack a day off into the calendar. But for me, two words, and it's a name, and it's Lindsey Vonn. I cannot believe that she was already making a comeback and then blew an ACL. I was thinking, guys, she said that it was totally ruptured. And I know that sounded pretty extreme, but I thought, is she saying ruptured instead of torn because it's not torn all the way through? Is she trying to make it sound worse or better than it is? I was working on that. I was Googling. Come to find out that totally ruptured means exactly what you think. It's just not there. And that most of us just couldn't even stand normally. So, like, it's going to be the most impressive story ever. She made it down with a practice run yesterday. And the word that I saw for the experience, she was symmetrical. They called her symmetrical. And I thought, I need to learn a lot more about skiing. But I'm still watching Lindsey this weekend.
Wow. That's impressive. I think I saw a video of her, like, lifting weights and stuff, too.
Yes.
Wow. That is crazy because she's not like a 22-year-old athlete either. She's up there.
No, she's in her 40s now. Yeah. And according to the doctor,
40s is up there. Yeah, I get it.
Sorry, Jimmy. It's an athlete thing. But apparently, like John Elway and Logan Mankins from the Patriots, there have been players in the NFL and other sports who have done it. But most, even NFL players, just straight up couldn't. That's why it ends seasons. But some of them, if you're just magically lucky enough or blessed, that's all you get.
Man. That's a good watch. Now I'm going to be paying way more attention to her, I think, now, Gray. I was just going to say I was going to be watching curling. Come on. Who doesn't love curling? Curling is awesome, guys. There's nothing wrong with curling. It is a fantastic sport, and I enjoy it a lot.
I'm going to be personally watching a bit more of the hockey than, you know, like most Olympics. Yeah. The hockey is where I really tune into. But, you know, it's not so much the medal rounds where people, you know, normally pay attention. I'm looking for, like, you look at, like, history books, and you look for, like, these wars from, like, the 1500s. When those countries meet up, I want to see 500-year blood feuds on the ice. That's what I want to see. And that's what I watch for the Winter Olympics. So that's what I'm looking for. Obviously, USA, Canada, things like that. Yeah, okay, everybody can have that. But I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for these tiny little European countries that maybe went to war over, you know, a patch of acreage, you know, back in the 800s. You know, like, we're talking, like, 1,200-year blood feuds. That's what I'm watching for in the Olympics.
Jimmy, if your kids don't watch the Olympics with you, I think I can tell you why.
They're bigger nerds than I am, so I think they'll be just fine. All right, let's move up to number five in our top 7 at 7. Let's have some fun. All right, the Brewers begin spring training 2 weeks from today. I know we've been talking about this as we impatiently await the thaw out from a very cold January. It does appear, though, we're getting like 50 degrees here in a few days in Wisconsin, so I think spring is on its way with it. Brewers baseball. Not so much maybe even a player, but it can be a player. But what are you looking forward to most with the Brewers, not only in spring training, but maybe this season as they begin spring training? Our first coverage of it begins 2 weeks from today on many of these same Civic Media stations. So start with Parker.
Trying to think. I don't know. I would like to see Joey Ortiz develop into a guy who's not just holding a stick when he is in the batter's box, and into somebody who can actually like be a threat at the plate. I would really love to see that out of him, and I do think that we're going to get that. I think that the Brewers have tried to kind of light a fire under him, and he's a gamer. He's going to respond. He's gonna step into the batter's box, and I think that he is going to be improved, and I'm pretty hyped to see what kind of an impact he can have on this Brewer offense that's going to be pretty tough.
I'm actually going to have to make it players, Jimmy. I know you kind of encouraged us not to, but there's two guys I really want to look at. And first one is Jesus Madé. If you look at his track record on the way to this season, it reads like that kid who graduated high school at 12 and then went on to college. It's like he just keeps going faster and faster through his progressions. And speaking of faster, just watching him swing the bat, how fast he gets his wrist moving, like, that's going to be fun. We got to see what that becomes. But I personally like watching building on success. And when you have a season like the Miz had last year, a rookie all-star season, it's like, okay, I need to see signs of whatever's coming next. Can he sustain? And if he can sustain, can he build on it? Oh my goodness. Like, it's, those are the most exciting things for me. The new fresh ones that might be, and the ones that already showed the flash.
Freddy Peralta out, of course, in the trade. We talked about that in previous weeks as well. I'm looking forward to some of the theme nights personally because I'm dragging my kids to a couple of them. And usually it's bobbleheads. I got the wall of bobbleheads behind me, but I am all in on the first Wednesday of August for Naruto night. So
I knew it.
That's the night I'll be there. He knew it. Parker Shiggins, like, he knew exactly where it was going.
I almost said something about it because I knew you'd be all over that.
Well, that's where I'll be on August 5th if you need me. Number four in our top 7 at 7, this is a Greg Gunderson special. And this is because the Packers coaching staff this year, this offseason, has had a little bit of shuffling, right? Defensive coordinator now at Green Bay South, that's Miami. But the Packers have made a couple of decisions and perhaps a non-decision that have certainly raised some eyebrows for folks. I'm talking about some of the comments made this week, and we'll hear from a bit with Mike Clemens by the GM, Brian Gutekunst, in regards to the Packers coaching staff. So, Gray, are you satisfied with the coaching staff decisions this offseason so far?
I'm going to put it into one word, and I'll say mostly. And yes, Rich Bisaccia is what stops it from being completely, at least for the most part. But we can only expect so much. We can only expect to know so much this early. We haven't seen what kind of defensive system, compared to Hafley, Gannon is going to install. You can expect that it'll build on the success that Hafley had. And Gannon's going to be watching all of the Hafley era tape to see who did what well and what ideas he can come up with. But yeah, the special teams thing makes it really hard for me to just dive in and defend the decisions that were made. That said, recent success, the success with Jeff Hafley, has me still willing to trust Brian Gutekunst, has me willing to trust the front office in general. It's just, if we have another tough year and have another offseason like this, I can't say the same thing again. I'm on the last piece of faith, if you will. Parker, do you have another season like this in you, or are you closer to throwing in the towel on the, I don't want to be a fair weather fan, but are you getting upset yet? I'm getting there.
I'm getting upset. I am very upset.
I can tell you guys are smiling right now. So.
Yes. It's comical that I'm upset, frankly, because we were still a playoff team. That's why I smile sometimes. But yeah, I'm happy with Gannon, with the pickup there, defensive coordinator. Rich Bisaccia, it's been a number of years. I have made my opinion heard. I would like to get rid of him. Yep, enough said, I think, on that one. I'm not a fan of him.
There we go. Packers coaching staff decisions or non-decisions. Number three in our top seven at seven. We're going to talk about this more coming up at the bottom of the hour with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer, but how important is this upcoming stretch of games for Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball? I say this because right now Bracketology has them anywhere between a 7 and a 10 seed, so they're right on that swing line, that bubble game, if you will, where they're going to be in a matchup against a team with a pretty similar resume, but they have a chance to improve their own marks with some games against ranked opponents coming up. So how important is this upcoming stretch of games, Parker?
I don't think it's quite as important as people are probably afraid of it being, because let's be honest, in my opinion, the Badgers are going to lose to probably both Illinois and Michigan State. I can't say that with certainty, obviously, but I'm decently confident that'll happen. But I don't think that is going to be too detrimental to what they have going forward in the season as you look into those seedings for later on into the March Madness tournament. If they win them, I think they help a lot. But if they lose both of them and they don't, if they don't get embarrassed, I think they're going to be all right.
I tend to think with these kinds of questions, the answer is generally it's going to be as important as the team makes it and as important as they make what happens. You know, if they have a tough stretch, well, they could turn that around or they could let the momentum build. You know, momentum isn't real unless it appears to be part of what's happening and you get a streak going or things like that. So if they let it fester, if something goes wrong, then they'll make it that important. So it could be make or break. It could just be a mixed bag that sees them still with a chance. So I think we can only answer this one after it. I think it might end up being, I'm going to say, quite important personally.
They still have, of course, the Big Ten tournament as well to pad their resume against some of these top teams as well coming up. We got about a minute left in the segment, so let's sneak these in our top seven at seven. Number two is our Super Bowl predictions, Patriots and Seahawks. I'm going to give you guys each 30 seconds to make your prediction here. We're going to go with Gray to start.
I'm going to go with a Seahawks victory here to keep it simple. What we predicted a couple weeks ago, and I know I missed a week, so you might have revised since then. It's still possible. I said Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, but I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I said Seahawks Super Bowl victory. So we're only halfway there.
Well, last week, the week that you missed, we did Pro Bowl predictions, which you weren't part of. So that's what we did that week.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, we actually didn't do that. Parker, how about you?
I kind of wish that we did Pro Bowl predictions. Jeez. I agree. I think the Seahawks have got it. I'm expecting a pretty fun game, but I am quite confident in the Seahawks. They have proven to be kind of stout on defense, and I think that Sam Darnold, yeah, he's going to have a ring. How about it?
One qualifier, though. If the Patriots come out hot and it looks like the Seahawks defense can't stop them, that might be because Nick Emanwori is a factor in that. So look out for news on that one. I think he's going to end up a game time decision, last I heard. If that's changed, I haven't seen it. But if he's out, he's a sensation.
I think the Seahawks have the roster. I think the Patriots have some of the intangibles, though. And that's the part of it that worries me. That's what makes it so hard. But yeah, I think if you're looking at it on paper, yeah, the Seahawks for sure. I'll be contrarian this week. I'll just take the Patriots, even though they're the bitter rival to my very, very bad Miami Dolphins. That's where I'll go this week. Let's see what Mike Vrabel can do, head coaching the Super Bowl after his incredible comeback story as a coach. So that is it for the first part of our top seven at seven. Number one, well, it involves a Milwaukee superstar, and it's not our very own Dan Schaefer. We'll talk about it coming up right after this timeout. Here on Make a Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
We're in our top seven at seven on Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we have made it to number one in our top seven at seven. And this, of course, It's been the same number one topic we've had for weeks. But now we have a somewhat point of resolution, although now's the time when we get to hype up the next point of this, which is the offseason. Giannis Antetokounmpo was not traded this week, and he's still going to be in Milwaukee, at least through the end of the season. We can talk about the offseason here in just a second. I'll say that there was a very good conversation as part of our civic media programming this week, the recombobulation area with Dan Schaefer and Bart Winkler. That was a great live segment they did yesterday. So if you're looking for a little more on this from a couple of Milwaukee super fans / sports nerds, you've got that as part of the Civic Media Sports Empire as well. Recombobulation area with Dan Schaefer. We had a segment on this very topic just yesterday, so you can take a listen or a watch to that. But with our group here, Parker, Gray, myself, it's our chance to talk now about Giannis Antetokounmpo staying a Milwaukee Buck and your reactions to that. And I want to start with Parker. I'm going to go to you first. Since it's not a football question, Gray, I'm going to go to Parker first.
And we're,
I know. We've had lots of football stuff, but let's talk a little hoops. Parker, with Giannis staying, obviously in the short term, we're happy. But long term, what are you looking at from the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis?
I am looking at the Bucks to have a massive offseason this year. If you're looking at, obviously, if you're looking at the standings right now, or if you've watched a couple of minutes of a Bucks game, you may have noticed they're not great. There are some problems in Milwaukee right now, and they need to get better if they are going to, I think I've said this before and I'll say it again, if they want to not waste years off of a superstar's career, then they need to build around Giannis better. They have not been able to do that of late. Last was a year ago, 2 years ago that they got Damian Lillard. Everyone went, that's it. All right. The Bucks are making moves. The Bucks are going to get there and they're actually going to get back into a championship. That didn't pan out very well, unfortunately. And I think that the Bucks know that they need to shoot their shot again. They've got to shoot their shot this offseason. Go invest in somebody and bring in some guys. I will still call for firing Doc Rivers. However, Jimmy, I know you're all over the fact that they would be paying so many head coaches by then if they were to do that. So maybe that won't happen. But the Bucks certainly need to make some moves this offseason. And if they don't, I expect Giannis to be gone pretty early on in next season.
Look, I don't care if they have to get a hostage negotiator in there, if they've got to get a psychiatrist with a fainting couch and a stern expression to like whatever you need to put in this guy's ear. The I want to zoom out a little further and just breathe a breath of relief because he is going to stay in the building and you still will have these opportunities to talk to him in the first place. I mean, obviously if he was gone, he was gone. So it's kind of a moot point, but it's easy to believe that even though he's still here, you know, teams are going to load up and Minnesota is going to make an offer next year when they have more cash. You hear all kinds of stuff about what might potentially happen down the line, even though it didn't happen now. Fact is, he's hanging out in Milwaukee in the interim. And that means that the people who can put words in his ear are a lot of Milwaukee people. Sure, he'll hang out with this. You get the idea. It's an opportunity for the team that he's here, even though it might not look like there's any wiggle room. That wiggle room can appear between now and the next opportunity to ship him off. So I know I wasn't the voice of hope. I'm not usually a voice of reason, but I hope it's reasonable to be hopeful that this can actually turn into something more than just we've got him for now and we'll see it next year.
Sorry, I'm just putting that. You put that phrase together and I'm sitting here confused by it, but that's because it's a sports show and I'm not here to think too deeply about things. How about this, Gray? I'm going to simplify this a little bit. We're talking about assets, right? In the NBA, ultimately, we're talking about asset management. And what the Milwaukee Bucks have right now is a lot of nothing. They don't have any draft picks they can move. They don't have any players that can move. That's why their trade deadline, it was a pretty minor move just to free up some, you know, back end stuff, get some roster flexibility and an expiring contract. So that's what they've done. But in the offseason, here's a very, very big factor. Because of the way the NBA trade rules work, they can't trade consecutive first-round draft picks just outright, but they will gain the ability to move two first-round draft picks this offseason. So that increases, I think, a lot of the flexibility in acquiring assets. And on top of that, they'll have more expiring deals to work with around Giannis. Giannis himself is eligible for an extension in October. And I think once you get to October 1st, the fever pitch, if Giannis is still a Buck, he doesn't get traded in the offseason, that October 1st deadline for him to sign that massive contract extension, that's when things really come to a head, I feel like. Not only that, but from this point too, that's the earliest he'd be able to sign that contract extension. If he's traded, he has to wait 6 months from the date he's traded to get that contract extension. So then you've got to look at the assets that other teams have in order to acquire him. What are they willing to give up, knowing that they're going to have to carve out something on the order of $50 to $60 million a year to have him on the roster? That's almost half your payroll. So I feel like just in those regards, in terms of what the Bucks have and what other teams can offer, there's kind of this conflict of timelines too, of what teams can do. And that's why ultimately here at this deadline, teams didn't have a lot of flexibility in the offseason. Several teams will have significantly more assets to move in the form of draft picks and expiring contracts.
Jimmy, I have a lot to learn.
Me too. No, I didn't know.
I confused you. You guys threw all these big words at me, so I just turned around and,
well, you know,
I decided to throw big words back at you. So
no, I didn't realize I had brought the knife to the gunfight. I have been outdone.
No, I didn't realize.
This is the show that's supposed to. We're supposed to be like infotainment, but this has been way more informative today. I feel like we've been really smart today. We should probably make it a little more fun. Let's do this for the final minute. For the Bucks, the rest of the way. You know, how much do you want to see Giannis the rest of the season? The Bucks are currently out on the outside looking in on the playoffs. How much do you want to see Giannis Antetokounmpo play these next couple of months?
I mean, if I'm going to a Bucks game, I sure want to see him. I can tell you that. But I don't know, strategically speaking, the Bucks are better off the worse they are, because they'll get a better draft pick. And you were just talking about assets. I don't know how much that would improve their assets, but maybe a little. I don't know. I think I said last week that he's had some injury problems. I worry a little bit about that, so I would be cautious with him.
Do you think Doc Rivers should put on his Tank Commander hat and just go for that draft capital?
Maybe.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think there's a balance between how much you play him and how much you're going for draft picks. That's something they'll have to figure out, but we'll wrap up our segment on that note. It's all good things. And speaking of good things, Jay Kokorowski is going to join us here in a few minutes. We're going to talk Badgers and talk about the big stretch they got coming up. They play today against Indiana on many of these same stations. So good things are coming. Jay Kokorowski is next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
As promised, bottom of the hour, a chance to talk to Jay Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. The Badgers basketball team has a big, big week coming up, big stretch coming up of games, and another opportunity, Jake, for this team to find its way to some quad one victories and really, you know, improve its resume for the NCAA tournament. Because if you look at bracketology, a lot of them have them kind of in that swing game, that 8-9 game, kind of in that middle of the pack area. And I feel like this week is an opportunity to maybe improve that standing a bit.
Yeah, you're right. You know, coming up later today, it's going to be, you know, or later this morning, I should say, it's Wisconsin, Indiana. They're going to be in Bloomington. That's, I mean, it's always tough going there, right? And so Wisconsin's got a chance to go. And you know, even though Indiana's 6-6, you know, they're in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten. Wisconsin's now, I think, right now tied for fifth in the conference heading into this matchup. It's still going to be a tough matchup, and Wisconsin needs to continue to do what we've talked about it before, what they did against Michigan, and just being gritty and like not letting the road environment dictate their performance. And we've seen obviously good strides. You know, they're winning 7 of the last 8 games heading into this. Seven of the last 8 games they've won. And so this is a really good opportunity from what you're seeing with, like, Indiana. And then they have to turn around real quick, you know, after today. And they have to go play Illinois on Tuesday. So it's a tough stretch that ends, you know, within 6 days, then they have to face Michigan State. So yeah, this is a really key stretch. If they can pull off 1 to 2 wins, they're in even better standing heading into the rest of the month and, you know, before March Madness begins.
And Jake, it's been a little while actually since we've seen the Badgers. They haven't played since the last day of January. So they've had a good chunk of time here, a good week to kind of get ready for this tough stretch as they start to face, obviously, Indiana, as we're talking about right now, but they'll also have Illinois on Tuesday and then Michigan State later on Friday. Those are 2 top 10 teams, obviously big stakes as the Badgers try to kind of jockey for position in the Big Ten for the tournament. Can you talk a little bit about this last week? What are some of the things that they may have been focusing on in practice as they try to get ready for this really tough slate here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't get a chance to, unfortunately, head down to talk to Greg Gard this week, which was Thursday. But, I mean, this is a week where, I mean, obviously you can do film work and you can break down what they need to break down. Also give players rest where you have, it's been a week's time where you're able to kind of rest the bodies and players are able to get back a little bit that way. I'm sure they're also working on classwork, what they need to, but you also, you know, it's a way to get back and work on themselves. And I'm sure there's obviously scouting that goes on, but yeah, I did not get a chance personally to ask Greg, what do you do when you have this week off? But I do feel these are opportunities that if the staff took it, you know, wanted to do it, they would go and do self scouting, let the players rest up, take care of what they need to take care of, also, you know, academically, and then focus in, because yeah, I mean, it's also one thing too, where you're gonna have a barrage of opponents that, you know, a couple of them among the best in the nation going forward.
I hate to ask for anybody to predict the future, but with the hot streak that's been going on, Jake, what's the feeling? What are expectations at this point? Like, you can't tell me where they're going to finish in any given tournament, but we know that those expectations are where people start to lean towards as March comes closer. What's the feeling heading into this season?
You know, when you have guys, you know, what they did in January, they're 7-2, and honestly, it probably should have been, quite frankly, 8-1 if they, you know, they had a 2-point loss against USC. But it's a team that you've seen them when they shoot well, they do fantastic. They can mask those defensive troubles. But the thing that you've seen with this group in January that, you know, maybe like they're down big to Ohio State early on, and then they poured on, you know, first night, you know, 5-6 minutes of the game, not in Wisconsin's manner. And then they turn on the afterburners and they blow them away. Right. And they come away with a 10-point win. It's a thing where Wisconsin, if they can, and they've talked about it before in press conferences, post-game press conferences, like get the defense going, that can also generate the offense. And so I think what you're seeing with this group and talking about forecasting the rest of the year, like, I think they can pull off the win against Indiana. I mean, I this team has gone through, they beat number 2 Michigan and Ann Arbor. So I think all three are winnable games starting this month, but they have to play stout defense and communicate that way. When they hit the shots, that's when they, you know, and I know everyone wants to talk about offense, but it's really true with this team where if you're hitting from 3-point range, if you're going inside out and getting those open shots, that's really what's helping this team. And you've seen that with this team where you have that going, but it's that toughness, that grittiness. It's that ability to punch back after being punched, you know, in the mouth and the nose, and they're fighting back that way. And so I would say, you know, after those three games, you know, through the 13th of February through next Friday, with that home matchup at night against Michigan State, you know, they have to, there are a couple of games. I mean, there's 3 games on the road to conclude the month. They also have Iowa on the 22nd at home a home matchup on a Sunday. And then they have, taking a look, Maryland on the 4th of March, and then they wrap up with Purdue on the 7th in West Lafayette. So this is a chance for Wisconsin to really, I would say, I mean, I think they're going to have a winning record. I think if you can get through those first, you know, these next 3 games with a 1-2 mark, 2-1 mark, I think they can win all 3 if they play to the level that we saw them play against Michigan. It could be a very successful February, but you know, that it really is. Sometimes it's with this team, it can go hot and go kind of cold. And for, you know, the good thing for them is that they fought through it. And that toughness is what's gotten them, you know, propelled them to a stronger January. I think it'll continue heading into this a key point in these dog days of the Big Ten schedule.
Talking to Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. If you need a more in-depth look on all things Badgers, especially with Badgers basketball this month and all the games we're talking about, make sure you subscribe at BadgerObserver.com or follow Jake on social media at Jake KOCO. Jake, I want to ask, let's do a deep dive. It's a sports show. Let's talk about it. It feels like the possession metrics we talked about in the past couple of weeks, we talked about kind of the per possession, the number of possessions, the fact that the pacing has been a little higher for the Badgers this year. I think the scores are a little higher than maybe what you expect. You see the 90s and those 80s, and you're like, well, this isn't the Bo Ryan Badgers. What are we doing? Why are we just throwing up threes all the time? Well, there's a method to the madness. And I think a lot of it just comes in terms of pure efficiency with this team. As you said, when the shots go, it looks great. When they don't, it doesn't. But I mean, this is by design. This is what this team is built to do.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you've seen guys, and they've recruited guys that can go and do what they've done, right, with in terms of having that ability to play and to basically have that ability to really push the court. John Tanjay last year did it, And then you saw, I mean, this year it's someone like a Nick Boyd where, yeah, John Blackwell's been able to generate some fast break here and there. But when you see like a block or a steal from a Boyd, and he's just, you know, it's just almost a sprint out on the court, just the way how fast he with dribbling, mind you. And he's able to get to the hole, and then it's great where he has that ability to finish, or he draws the foul, which is huge. And that's how where you're seeing guys like Blackwell, like Boyd get to the line. But it's also them not, you talked about it with Bo Ryan, right? It's the swing offense, you're moving it around. Movement's still key within this offense, right? It's getting those, but it's finding those open guys. And that's, I mean, and it's one thing where, you know, Greggard said, like, I think he said it might've been against after the USC game, but yeah, they're shooting a lot of threes, but you know, you're also not going to yell at those guys because there are some good wide open shots, right? So I think for me, that's something to watch. It's also the evolution of the game where, and you're able to recruit these type of players that are willing to, you know, come to Madison, right? And, you know, talking football recruiting, even as a tangent, you know, some of the things for Wisconsin is just getting the kids on campus and showing them that it's not just, you know, I remember even with football recruiting, it's, oh, well, I thought it was going to be a bunch of cornfields, and it wasn't. Well, no, yeah, you know, it's and being a Madison.
Well, it is if you go down University Drive. They still have a little farm over there, but yeah.
They do. Anyway, sorry. They do. No, I'm on the far west side of town. I live on the far west side of town. So yeah, I know you five. That's the beauty of Madison, right? 5 minutes outside of the city, you're back in farm town, and then you go back in and it's metropolitan life. And so that's kind of the allure. But yeah, I think it's the same thing with Wisconsin, just with basketball, where yeah, you get them on campus, but you're also showing them, hey, this is what we've done reinvigorating this offense where they're pushing the pace. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I apologize, but it's a nice ability for Wisconsin where, you know, you've seen the guys, they're, hey, you're open, take the shot. You don't have to worry about the shot clock. And I think that's key. And yeah, maybe Wisconsin's, you see the stats and, oh, they're giving up this much more points per game. Well, you know, like I said, the key stat is going to be like, what's actually the points per possession. And that's something that, you know, I always try to tell people. I mean, I know some people are, you know, oh, the eye test, like, no, like points per possession is a really indicative factor of how successful a defense can be. And as long as Wisconsin continue improving on that, on the defensive end, only, you know, that's gonna, if they can't get shots of fault, that's what's gonna help them, you know, stay within games. And then once the shooting does kick up, how they can pull ahead.
Jake, you talked about the defense of it and just the recruiting aspect of it. I think people are seeing this more in football because there's so many more people in football, but even in basketball, one player can make a pretty significant difference on your win-loss record and your overall success. And I think Wisconsin has done a pretty good job the last few years, even with NIL and transfer portal, you know, not really becoming, I would say this is kind of the first year where the doors have been blown completely wide open, where I felt like for the last couple of years, we've been kind of toeing the water, but, and they have found great success in bringing people in. The guys they do bring in, being able to build around them and have a system that operates well with the talents of their players, which, you know, I guess is like literally the description of coaching.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and we've talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about this or I've talked about it before, but just with others, it's just the ability for Greggard and the staff to really mesh within the new landscape of college athletics, where, like, I'm looking at last year, right? John Tanje was the big name. Yeah. But, you know, even before that, Kamari McGee, who came from UW Green Bay. And, you know, yeah, guys like, you know, Xavier Amos didn't necessarily pop out that much last year from Northern Illinois, but, you know, AJ Store was another name the year prior, where they're able to get, you know, find these players that are able to, you know, lead the team in scoring and provide that spark. But you're also seeing, you know, like this year, it's that fact you have like a guy like Nick Boyd really stepping into that role. And, you know, right now, Nick Boyd, he's right now fourth in the Big Ten in points per game at 20. And I know he's not a transfer, but John Blackwell is 18 and a half per game right now for the team. So you have those guys, but it's what I think is really interesting is just the simple fact that Wisconsin, they're blending that transfer portal. They're identifying these players in the transfer portal that can help this program. And they're also blending in the culture. Like, you don't, that's the thing with the transfer portal, right? Like with high school recruiting, you can recruit to the guys to like a culture and I mean by that, by like you build up from the ground up, it's a freshman through senior year development. You kind of, you know, I still remember, I mean, high school recruiting is still very much is important. But it's not like the year where you all of a sudden bring in Nate Reavers, Brad Davison, and Kobe King, right? And like, oh, this is the future, you know, or like someone like Johnny Davis in his class where, oh gosh, there's five kids in this class, you know, and that's going to set the tone. The rosters are changing every year, but it's also guards doing a great job where they're identifying those players in the portal. Like Andrew Rohde's been, you know, may not have had the scoring impact, but there, you know, there's a grittiness there that has shown up throughout times this year. Austin Rapp, yeah, he started, now he's on the he's coming off the bench, but he's been a spark, as we saw there. And so, but they're also blending with like some high school talent where, you know, Will Garlock from Middleton, Zach Kinziger, and you also like the freshmen. They're not really freshmen from overseas with Billy Oskis and, you know, Hayden Jones coming over too. So, yeah, I could mention Jimmy. It's what they're seeing. This is what they have to do now. And Wisconsin's done a great job.
Jake Kukurowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Appreciate all of your insights. Game tips off here in a little over 3 hours. So I know you got a busy day ahead of you. Looking forward to your insights going forward. Thanks, Jake.
Awesome. You guys take care. Be good.
Jake Kukurowski, Badger Observer, BadgerObserver.com. We'll wrap up the show coming up right after this. It's Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Welcome back. We have a couple minutes before we get an update from California and the Super Bowl. Mike Clemens standing by with a sports update, which will bring us. He has spent a lot of time this week hanging out with people, you know, Jordan Love and, you know, Brian Gutekunst and, you know, the LaFleurs. Now that there are two of them coaching in the NFL as head coaches, like there's a lot of cool stuff that Mike's been able to do. We're going to get an update from him here in just 2 minutes. But before we go, a chance for us to get some final thoughts in sports-wise here at the end of Make the Call. We're going to start with Gray. Gray, what are your final sports thoughts here for the week?
Final sports thoughts this week, Jimmy. Look local, everybody. It is a great week for local sports. If you've got a high school basketball team anywhere near you that you've enjoyed watching before, get out to a game. There's more to come. We're in the finishing weeks of that stuff. We talk about the big name sports and the money makers, but local high school sports, January is the best month into February, and it's still lingering. So take advantage of that while you can.
Parker, what are your final thoughts on sports for the month?
I will be digging in to a bowl of popcorn, getting my blankets, and turning on the Olympics. My friends, I am very excited to be watching not only my curling. I told you, I like my curling. I will also be watching pretty much anything else that's on. I am a sucker for Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics, because you never really see these sports at any other time, except for like hockey. You don't happen to see a bunch of curling or skiing or snowboard racing. There's a ton of stuff that's super fun in these Winter Olympics. Always have a great time watching them. So I am definitely going to be hunkering in, plus the Super Bowl. I'll be watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's happening this weekend, too, which we'll actually have on one of these stations here in Richland Center. We'll have the Super Bowl broadcast for you coming up tomorrow. I myself, you'll know me, I'll be traveling the WIAC again this week. That's where I will be this week. Big thanks to you, Parker and Gray, as part of Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. It's time now to hear from Mike Clemens and get an update from Super Bowl week over in California. Mike Clemens next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Good morning from the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in San Francisco, covering Super Bowl 60 this week. Tomorrow night, it's a rematch of the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots, both general managers for these teams. Learned their trait under the late Ted Thompson while he was general manager of the Green Bay Packers. The Seahawks' John Schneider grew up in Green Bay. So did Elliot Wolf, the son of Hall of Famer Ron Wolf, who worked for 14 years for the Packers. The last 2 years, he's turned around the Patriots and gotten them back into the Super Bowl. I asked Wolf if Ted Thompson's way of making decisions, something he relies on in his job today in New England.
Absolutely. Still think about what Ted would do in a lot of situations, and really just his patience is something that I always take into consideration. He was very patient, methodical, deliberate would be the positive things you would say about it. And I find myself kind of at times overthinking or thinking about things the way that he did, and just trying to make the best decision for the team.
So with Dorsey a couple of years in Cleveland and here scouting, you know, up to the point now vice president, de facto GM, I don't know, this feels like this happened pretty fast. How's it felt for you?
It's been great, you know, and just give a lot of credit to Coach Vrabel and the coaching staff and obviously the players that have come in and kind of built in with his vision, his identity for the team. And it's been exciting to see the rewards of that. And one more to go here.
The Patriots are led by quarterback Drake May, just 23 years old. In his second season in the NFL, May was asked what this week has been like for players here at the Super Bowl.
Favorite part of this week is just, you know, being with the teammates, you know, just being in the hotel for a week, you know, getting to experience a lot of time. You know, had the O-line dinner last night and just experience, you feel like you're kind of living with, you know, some, your best friends again in college or in training camp, you know, back in, you know, high school. You feel like you're just around your teammates 24/7, and it's something that makes the experience just, you know, more special.
Now, the Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel is 50 years old and has had quite the NFL life. He played linebacker for the Steelers, the Patriots, and the Chiefs. He was there in 2001 when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl under Bill Belichick. New England has had a similar story, going from worst to first in 1 year under Vrabel, who was fired last year after a long run as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
I think I've always tried to use everything that I've been presented with through my career from the time that I started playing football, whether that was that game, so coaching experience, whatever, that season. You know, we were 5-5 and won 9 games after Thanksgiving. So we always talk about how you have to continue to improve as the season goes along to give yourself a chance to make the tournament and be in the playoffs and ultimately get to where we are today.
The Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald has his team in the big game just 2 years after taking over for Pete Carroll in Seattle, and he was asked this question yesterday at the team hotel.
You pulled me aside after opening night and said you'd wish you'd answered my question a little bit differently. That question was, to get to this point, you had to sacrifice a lot. And what do you feel was the biggest thing that you had to sacrifice to get here?
Well, you know, actually reflecting on it, it's not really me that's sacrificed. I mean, the layup answer is time. But to me, it's what are your loved ones willing to sacrifice? I mean, there's some things that you inevitably have to miss, which you don't want to. But, you know, I think of what my wife has sacrificed up to this point. You know, a couple years ago, we were playing the AFC Championship game, and 2 days later, we flew to Seattle, and we stayed there.
The Seahawks are led by quarterback Sam Darnold, who was drafted in the first round by the Jets, then spent time with the Panthers, the 49ers, and the Vikings, and still managed to lead Seattle back to a Super Bowl. And here's some trivia about Sam Darnold. His late grandfather was once one of the Cowboys used as the Marlboro Man commercials and billboards. It was an actor named Dick Hammer. Sam Darnold was asked, when did it sink in that his grandfather was that guy?
Probably high school.
Yeah.
Sophomore, junior year of high school. I didn't really put it together until then, to be honest. He was just Grampsy to me. But pretty epic name, you know, his story too. And one of the four original Marlboro Men. He was captain of a, you know, firefighting squad in L.A. He went to the 1964 Olympics, played volleyball. Played volleyball and basketball at USC as well.
He's like a true American hero.
Yeah. He's a man's man.
Yeah.
I didn't even know him, too. He died in 99.
At Sam Darnold, the Seahawks are 4.5-point favorites. Game time tomorrow night on NBC at 5:30. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers are back in action today on the road. They'll take on the Indiana Hoosiers at 11 a.m. this morning. NBA. The Bucks last night with a win, 105-99 over the Pacers at five-serve form. That's 3 wins in a row from Milwaukee following a 5-game losing streak from Super Bowl 60 in San Francisco. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.